This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. He is at the FFA convention in Indianapolis, and we'll get an update from him coming up here in just a few minutes. Right now, we start with Harvest Hotline, and it's brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. Harvest nearing the finish line in southeast North Dakota, where corn is still standing in some fields as farmers wait for it to dry down. Havana area farmer Joe Brecker says most of the soybean harvest is complete, but some challenges remain with the corn moisture and limited storage space.
Corn harvest is in, I'd say, full swing. Guys, his bins are full. Corn is hanging on to its moisture a little bit, so it's a little tougher to deal with these tail end bushels. What do you do with it? But a lot of it is either standing in the field waiting for some more dry down or going to the elevators to pay for drying.
Brecker says soybean yields varied widely this year depending on drainage and rainfall.
Beans highly variable based on too much water at times. If you had well-drained fields and, you know, missed out on one of those showers this summer, you had above average beans, and if you, you know, have had some drainage issues and caught that extra rain, the yields were probably half. So it's highly variable on the soybeans. The corn, yeah, there's some variability, but for the most part, the corn yields are, I'd say, excellent, probably best ever.
Harvest wrapping up in western Minnesota, where farmers are seeing a great corn crop, but some disappointing soybean yields. Fergus Falls area farmer Galen Afield says rain slowing progress slightly, but most of the beans already out.
They're going pretty well. I don't know how all this rain affected everybody, but I know right here in Fergus, I dumped an inch out of my gauge, and I think out to the farm, which is north of Breckenridge, they're about a half an inch. So we have about 50 acres left of corn. That's where we're at. And stuff, and there's still quite a bit of corn around. All the beans pretty much are off and stuff like that. So that's kind of where we're at.
Afield says yields have been mixed this fall, corn outperforming soybeans in his area.
You know, the corn was above average for us. I mean, it's which was nice. The soybeans were a little bit less. They weren't quite as good, let's put it that way. They were actually probably below average. And whether it was fungus or disease or something, but they just got short and they didn't grow very good. And it was iron corrosis, but I don't know. They just weren't that good.
Harvest wrapping up across southwest Minnesota, where farmers are reporting good yields and full bins. Worthington area farmer Bill Gordon says most of the soybeans out, only a few cornfields remaining as farmers turn their attention to fall tillage and fertilizer application.
They're definitely above average. You talk to most people, they were definitely a positive 200. You get east of us, closer to Jackson, you're looking 230 to 250 in corn. A lot of 70s, high 60s, 70s on beans, a few 80s, but mostly in the 60s and 70s. Around Worthington, you saw a lot of that, give or take 60 bushel soybeans. I think we ran out of water right at the end. And corn, anywhere from 200 to 230. And you always had an outlier, you know, cattle guy or a hog guy that had a 250. But 220 is going to hit a lot of that, which is probably 20 bushels above our average.
Gordon says storage is tight across the region as farmers bring in one of their best crops in years.
There are a lot of piles around with that kind of yield. Every bend in the countryside is full. The elevators are all piling corn. You drive down Highway 60 or even south into Iowa, here northern Iowa, there's a lot of corn outside. Even the soybean plant, even with our new expansion here at MNSP, they had to put soybeans on the ground.
In northwest Minnesota, harvest conditions wrapping up as wet weather continues to challenge farmers. Roseau area farmer Richard Magnuson says while his own harvest is done, many others still fighting mud and standing water.
What kind of areas on our own farm we're done with harvest? still have some field work we could do, but it's awfully wet around the area. You know, there's still corn and soybeans, sunflowers out in the fields and areas yet.
Magnuson says despite the wet finish, yields have been pretty good across the area.
Yeah, pretty good season. Other than it's been a miserable harvest for a lot of guys. But depends on the area. West Rosa, it's been real wet for the last month. Okay. I mean, the point that the only way to travel is kind of on tracks or they're in the mud all the time.
Sugar beet harvest nearly done for Mindac Farmers Cooperative. Executive Vice President Mike Metzger says just a few growers still in the field as wet weather slowing things down.
Yeah, the harvest continues, but as the doomsday prophecy goes, the end is near, right? We've got about 1,300 acres left down here spread out between seven growers. Most of them are up on the north end of our area. They are, one, the wettest, and two, have the highest yield. So naturally, those guys have a little bit longer harvest ahead of them than some of the other rain-plagued areas over the summer.
Metzger says despite some quality issues, overall production numbers have been pretty good.
Looking pretty good. Quality isn't quite where we like it. Cercospora kind of reared its ugly head down here, and we got behind a little bit on that. But the tonnage is good. You know, we've got over 2.8 million ton in the pile already, and probably like with these 1,300 acres to go, probably 35 to 40,000 yet to come in.
Metzger says the cooperative hopes to finish harvest by the end of the weekend, depending on weather conditions. That's Harvest Hotline, and it's brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. No official confirmation, but President Trump indicating a trade deal with South Korea is going to happen. At a meeting with the South Korean president, Trump said a trade deal is pretty much finalized. A framework agreement completed in July would have the U.S. dropping its tariff rate on South Korean products from 25 to 15%. South Korea also promising to invest $350 billion into the U.S. market. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Well, it's day one of the FFA convention, the National FFA convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, and our own Tyler Donaldson is there.
National FFA convention coverage is sponsored by CHS, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Minnesota Farmers Union, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, North Dakota Corn Council, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Speaking with North Dakota State FFA Advisor Nikki Fiddle-Didal. Nikki, it's National Convention Week here. We're in Indianapolis. Talk to me a little bit about what you guys are all excited about here for the convention this week.
Yeah, so we have a busy week here at the 98th National FFA Convention and Expo, and today kicks off a lot of the competitive events that our members are participating in. So a lot of our FFA chapters got in last night in preparation for today. So we're going to be participating in competitive events. Our state officers are here as delegates, so they're currently in delegate work, helping decide and make decisions for the future of our organization. And so lots happening behind the scenes. I'm just really excited to get to celebrate our chapters. I always say we're small but mighty, and so our ag teachers have worked tirelessly behind the scenes to help prepare our kids, and I have no doubt they're going to represent North Dakota well.
How does the national convention differ from the state conventions here? Is it just bigger in scope and scale, or is there more to it for the kids?
There's a lot of events happening that don't happen at our state convention. We don't host every event the National FFA hosts, so there's a lot of unique things here. I think really the one thing to identify for our members and people back home is I've been coming to this convention for well over 10 years, and I still get goosebumps during the opening session. And so for our members, they're going to be sitting in those chairs at session, and they're going to be surrounded by, you know, 70,000 of their best friends all wearing the blue corduroy jacket. And there's just a level of impact that has that is really hard to explain. And so we're excited to celebrate our chapters, but we're just also excited for them to get the experience to be here.
The Red River Farm Network coverage from the National FFA Convention is sponsored by Nutrien, North Dakota Wheat Commission, Proceed, Minnesota Corn Growers Association, Minnesota Farm Bureau, and CHS. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
A date has not been set for the reopening of the border to Mexican cattle imports. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins and her Mexican counterpart by video conference about the New World screwworm and the border met. The two agreed to a new method to increase sterile fly production with the goal of reducing the fly population over time. with the help of a $21 million investment by the United States. Mexico is also building a sterile fly plant to address New World screwworm. Well, cattle markets have been seeing extreme swings here in recent weeks, with prices falling sharply after hitting record highs earlier in the month. Beef industry expert Cassandra Fish says volatility and policy uncertainty driving fear across the cattle sector.
We have been in a long-term bull market for 5.5 years. We've had incredible demand, beef demand in 2025, which took the beef cutout value to the highest level ever, 416. It's been an incredible run. The fundamentals, though, have not changed. We still have the tightest fed cattle supplies ahead of us, and we still have not begun to, we've stabilized the U.S. beef cow herd, but we've not begun to expand it. And so we are still looking at another, really 2 to 4 years of the market being able to really appreciably increase.
Fish says global trade headlines and political uncertainty have added to the market instability.
So you've created a real confidence crisis for many participants in the cattle and beef industry today. Now, can that be restored? If we could get the headlines to go away, we could get back to focusing on our supply scenario, then that would perhaps get us to where we could at least find our footing and maybe establish some sort of a decent trading range. But it remains to be seen, Jamie. Nobody knows what the headlines are going to be, and therein lies some of the difficulty in getting the market stabilized.
South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds recently meeting with President Trump and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins to discuss the administration's plan to import beef from Argentina. Rounds says the U.S. needs an America First strategy that puts American farmers and ranchers first and ensures consumers can identify U.S.-produced beef. Rounds says implementing mandatory country of origin labeling would help strengthen the domestic market. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. For this year's premier chapter competition at the National FFA Convention, members of the Rolla, North Dakota FFA chapter are presenting a project called Slow Down Day. Rolla FFA member Olivia Martin talks about the importance of slowing down for agriculture equipment on roads.
Slow Down Day is really just about we need people to stop for farm equipment because it's so dangerous, and it's actually more dangerous for the farm equipment than it is for us because there's more of a chance of farm equipment going into ditches and rolling over. So we really want to make sure that everybody is safe, especially being in such an agricultural community. There's agriculture everywhere. So we really need to teach kids on how to do this wisely before they get on the road.
Chapter member Kylie Juntinen is happy with how the project turned out this year.
It went pretty good. We first started out in Rolla, and we had the mayor, Kevin Juntinen, sign for us, and then we sent it out to the state so that the governor could look at it and pass it in the state.
The Rolla chapter will present their project this afternoon. Final judging will take place on Friday evening. Former Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan was at the University of Minnesota yesterday to discuss climate issues. Regan was asked about the contentious relationship between ag groups and environmental groups. He downplayed the conflict, saying there's more that unites us than divides us. Markets now, Minneapolis wheat December, we are down 1, 5.63. December Chicago unchanged, 5.29. December Kansas City, we're up a half cent at 5.20.5. East corn is up 1.5 right now at 4.33.5. November soybeans were up a half cent at 10.79. And December live cattle up 4.62 at 2.31.15. The November feeders right now up 8.80 at 3.42.20. And December lean hogs right now, we're unchanged at 80.82. This is the Red River Farm Network.